Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the first night of our E3 podcasts. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Colin.
I'm Matt.
I'm Matt Rex.
And I'm Killplex.
So with us tonight, you know me, you know Colin probably. And we got Matt Spill, who's our occasional Star Wars correspondent slash pop culture correspondent. Matt Rex, who you may remember from our previous E3 podcasts, and then for the first time ever on Nerdy Show, long awaited, well overdue, we have Killplex with us, and he does a lot of streaming series, but on Nerdy Show, he is one of our Nerdy Showcase video elements, and he does Killplex's Flash game review. So it's awesome that you are finally on the show, dude.
Yeah. Been waiting for it.
And it is a momentous occasion. Colin, Matt Spill, and myself are broadcasting from Los Angeles tonight. And Matt Rex, of course.
He's in a separate place,
but he's also in Los Angeles.
I'm on another plane of existence, but I'm here.
He's in a bunker. We hid him away in a video game bunker. Yeah,
in the bathroom, on a toilet.
So this is the first full day of E3. Prior to this, we did some live stream coverage where we were online with the fans during the Microsoft and Sony press conferences, and we'll address that a little bit today, but not so much as the things we saw today, which we started off early with the Nintendo conference, and then the way our first day at E3 typically goes is we run around trying to get interviews with places that we didn't previously have interviews with. So we did a lot of networking today rather than stuff we could necessarily report on as far as gameplay, but we did do some, and so we will we'll let you know about all the cool stuff we did. But I guess the elephant in the room as far as all of E3 is the Nintendo conference. So,
oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were there, and Austin, I assume you checked it out online?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, what did you think about that?
Oh, gosh. It was just lacking horribly.
Yeah.
It was like, here's this console. We're not going to show you much about it, but here's this console. Here's Nintendo Land, and you can do a bunch of social crap, but games? Yeah, where are the games?
It's kind of weird how ambiguous they still are with the system.
Yeah,
considering it's a fall release, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The claim of the little prologue video that was done on Sunday was that they were trying to recapture the hardcore gamer, but
they
didn't show much that a hardcore gamer would necessarily get into. I mean, it was still families in all the videos.
Yeah.
And they also made a point of saying,
what are you talking about? That guy in that video was a hardcore gamer who was fighting the zombies?
But I mean, that was a terrible video.
He was hardcore.
But I mean, as far as the conference today, by the way, and that the other thing is, you know, they made it very, you know, we're showing so many games, we can't really, get into, you know, too much detail because there's not enough time. But then how long did they spend on Nintendo Land? And I mean, it was just, I don't understand.
Yeah. What I'd like to do is play some audio of our feelings directly after seeing the press conference, and it comes in two waves. There's the part where I'm trying to just express what was happening in my mind about everything that I'd just seen, and it was really hard. And then we were exiting the theater, and we said, you know what? No, we finally we after all this weird and different feelings, we could commit to an emotion. And so you'll hear that right now.
Yo guys, it's Cap
and Matt,
and we're on the floor of the Nokia Theater in beautiful Los Angeles, and we've just watched Nintendo's E3 press conference.
And how do you feel?
Well, it started well, and I'm still just trying to wake up from the last half, to be honest.
Nintendo's presented us with a confusing problem. They've actually created so much content that they can't show it all at E3. They had a pre-show thing on Sunday. They had this press conference. They're doing a developer reveal tonight at 6 o'clock. And all this content is on their website, this proprietary E3 page. And they're basically, they had a bunch of guys come up here and tell us, we'd like to show you this. Here's a little bit of it. But watch all of it online.
Yeah, the disclaimers are never good. It's never good when you have to say, you know, we can show you, you know, everything else later. It's just not.
We have the benefit of being able to go hands-on with all this product on the floor of E3, and we will show you everything we can. But in the meantime, we got all this lackluster feelings. We have sort of a better sense of what the Wii U's doing, but it's still nothing that's really wowing us, and it feels like Nintendo is now in direct competition with the other big two in the industry. So for Nintendo fans, it's kind of a scary thing because they're not... Well, the HD looks great. Pikmin 3 looks great. Pikmin 3 looks really great. But we just feel awkward. We feel kind of like shaken by how... some stuff's really cool, but all in all, there's nothing that really said, yes, this is it. Nintendo's doing everything we want them to do and everything that that they need to do to stay alive and relevant.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, that's really the feeling. It's just kind of, I mean, there were little things of confetti coming down during the conference. We were expecting a big explosion at the end, and then nothing happened. There was no confetti in the theater, which is kind of how I felt. Actually, I mean, it's a big symbol for it, too. It's like, we're waiting for this moment, and then nothing happened. We're like, where's the confetti?
All right, we've had some time to think about it now, and we're a little pissed, actually. Nintendo should be, like, have this, like, attitude of, like, you know, we're the best. They see the Microsoft Glass, they see all the connectivity between the PlayStation 3 and the PS Vita, and they should have ended this in a way that was going to build confidence, and not just, like, their investors, their consumers, everybody who's here seeing their show, loving Nintendo, wanting to know what's going to happen. But really, they're just like this whole fireworks thing where there was just nothing. It was just... If they saw that stuff and it was somehow a surprise to them yesterday, all the innovations that were kind of mimicking the Wii U and everything, you know, they should have had some sort of confidence, you know, like, you know what, they're doing all that, that's fine, because our version, it's going to be the top of the line, it's going to be the thing that's going to connect everybody, like, at least show some confidence, show some damn confidence, and really, the last 15, 20 minutes of it just left us all feeling drained in this kind of stupor of confusion, and... It's not good. It's just not good, guys. Nintendo needed to end this with a bang. They needed to show a huge just array of confidence in their product, in their system, and all they had was reassuring corporate jargon and this weird just, I don't know, maybe they have too much stuff planned this year, and maybe they're going to, when we have things hands-on on the show floor, it's going to be different, but, you know, the press conference is the thing that everybody watches. It's the thing that was syndicated in all the, like, channels and the television. I don't know. Now, we're going through some stages of grieving right here, and we hope we're not in the death throes of Nintendo's reign. But, you know, time will tell. The first-party content is always great. But we'll see. We'll really see, because this could be the dawn of a new era for Nintendo as they reevaluate their entire being.
So, I guess you could hear that. We do mirror that Nintendo... just came to us with a weird kind of bland showcase of things. And it started so strong with Miyamoto coming on stage and the Pikmin and everything. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they've been kind of hinting at a new Pikmin game for years now, and they finally delivered it. And it seems like there it is. Pikmin truly, truly reimagined via the hardware of the Wii U as only the Wii U could do it, because the backgrounds and everything are just so lush.
Yeah. Water effects are great too.
Yeah,
and but you still play it with a nunchuck and Wiimote.
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of weird.
So it's what are they doing? You know.
Yeah.
And when I was watching you play it, Cap, I mean, it was just the Wii pad was just sitting on a stand with like a map view of the game. Like, what? It wasn't serving any purpose beyond that.
Well, what happened was I did actually eventually play it with the Wii U remote. So the only game I had hands on with today from Nintendo's booth, just today, and we're going to get more in depth in the next couple days. But it was Pikmin 3, and it played amazingly on the Wiimote and the nunchuck. It was fluid and fun, and I picked it up pretty immediately. The Wii U remote was just sitting there on the stand, kind of showing us this map overview. And so I said to the girl who was running the thing, like, I would like to play it with that. Is that possible? And she's like, yeah. And it was kind of, we had this really confused dialogue back and forth. And then, and I played it, and it was cool because it used the accelerometer and like tilt function to let you use that to kind of discern how you want to throw the pitch to the Pikmin and everything. You can play the game with it, but there's way more of a learning curve than there is with the Wiimote and the nunchuck. It's less intuitive.
Honestly, though, that's probably because we are all so used to the Wiimote and nunchuck.
I suspect so.
I mean, but then again, you know, when the Wii first came out and we all picked up Wii Bowling, like that wasn't much of a learning curve. Well, sorry, my voice sounded like I started crying there.
It really wasn't much of a learning curve at all.
God, I'm sorry.
Matt, you've gotten it down to crying in a bathroom about video games, and I think you need to look at a few things.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, because Cap, actually, one of the things that Spill asked, that Matt asked Cap after he was done playing Pikmin was, what were you looking at the gamepad for? Do you need the gamepad? Did that enhance your experience?
And I think what's tough, though, is, like, we're on the floor, we're seeing a lot of single-player implementations, and I feel like the gamepad is going to be most prevalent with multiplayer things.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, because I played the new Super Mario Brothers U, and the screen on the gamepad was only mirroring what was on the TV.
Yeah. I think what's sad is that the game that showed the best potential of the Wii U mode is the Zombie U.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most exciting thing.
Not even a Nintendo game.
I actually played the multiplayer mode today for Zombie U. It was actually kind of cool. It was a capture the flag between a survivor and then a series of zombies, and the player with the gamepad was essentially using the screen as a RTS map to place different classes of zombie hordes to go capture flags.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you know, there was like tank zombies and quick zombies that could go capture a flag quickly, and then the person
the
zombies were capturing flags.
By capturing flags, he means they were just like pounding at a flag, like they were just attacking.
They were ripping off. Yeah. Like, I don't know if there's supposed to be like flesh on the post or something. Yeah. But
it was a fleshy post.
Yeah, the survivor, meanwhile, was using the gamepad that looks strikingly like an Xbox controller, you know, the controller Pro to, you know, essentially just treat it as a traditional FPS. And he was, you know, fighting off the zombie hordes that were competing with him for these capture points. And there was like a crossbow and a shotgun and a pistol. And there's also an injector that you can like just inject a zombie for a one hit kill. And it's cool. It literally combined a RTS kind of dynamic with a FPS. Both players were playing different types of games, but it was the same
game.
That's
really cool.
And I one of the things I really love about Zombie U that I saw during the Nintendo press conference was was how the game seems to hold you accountable for what you're doing. Like if you're messing around with a keypad trying to get a door open, then and you're doing it on the Wii U remote screen, and meanwhile on the TV, you've got zombies coming at you over your shoulder, and you get both perspectives on it. And if you're digging through your inventory, then on the screen you see you've sat down, you're digging through your actual like kit on the screen while you're fussing with your inventory on
that's
and then
cool.
Boom, here comes the zombies, and it's like you've got to pick up your Wii U remote and just charge through and stop doing what you were doing. It really has real time inventory action stuff.
I don't know. It's kind of weird, right? Because this is now the second year in a row that we've seen the Wii U at E3, and it still feels like nothing. We haven't seen a really mature product, and I don't mean mature as in like ESRB rating. I mean like mature as in a product that has had time to cook and it's like ready for prime time.
Yeah, they keep on treating it as if like, you know, they're treating it with kid gloves every time.
Yeah, like everything is prototype. Everything's like, don't look at it the wrong way or it'll break. And that's just kind of weird, once again, considering it's supposed to be a fall release. You know, it's just
weird. And, you know, another thing is that is the next-gen console for them. And it is arguably, you know, we don't even know if it's better than 360 and PS3 graphically and process-wise. But once the new Xbox and PlayStation come out, that thing's going to be completely underpowered, and no one's going to want to make games for it again.
It's going to be the exact same situation,
I mean, heck, Nintendo's first, like, you know, their first party potential launch product, Pikmin, isn't even really optimized for Wii U gameplay.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Nintendo doesn't even want to develop that much for it right now. I mean, what does that say if the first party is starting to weaken a little bit?
It's really weird. I mean, that's just like one of the main words I can use with all of the Wii U stuff is just weird. Like, it's just weird how it's going, you know?
Yeah, it makes us all very uncomfortable from that strange broadcast on Sunday all the way to the performance. And it's like I said, like we wanted this to end with something triumphant. We wanted them to say, like, we understand that everyone's doing these different tablet gameplay ideas. We understand that that all this is seems very strange, but we're Nintendo, goddammit. Like, I mean, if why... They should have said something like that.
Yeah, like, here's... Yeah, and then show at least a game hardcore gamers are going to want to play. Like, by the way, here's Star Fox. Here's Metroid. Here's Zelda.
Yeah, there wasn't, there wasn't a title that, you know, at the very... Like, I kept expecting at the very, very end for them to be like, oh, you thought we were going to leave you yeah. like this, and then, by the way, here you go. But then it just kind of ended with this, oh, here's this, you know, digital firework display that just kind of farts out, and then that's it.
A joke that I read about the ending on Twitter today was Nintendo got BioWare to write their ending.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's true.
And, you know, I feel like Wii Sports is a smarter way to demo the system than, like, the concept of Nintendo Land is really good, but so, I mean, I haven't played the games yet, and I'm sure they'll be fun, but so far the aesthetic of it, the presentation of this faux theme park is not, the way they talked about it sounded way more immersive than the weird kind of casino hall color explosion clusterfuck that they have. Yeah. As the arena for this thing, like it, if the way they phrased it was, the only theme park with licensed Nintendo characters in the world is Nintendo Land. And well, if they want to really own that, then they should make a virtual theme park that you can really feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it doesn't look like a place where you want to interact with people. It's just this weird, too bright, gaudy as hell, you know, clusterfuck.
A game came out this year, Kinect Disneyland.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the most awesome, like, uses of the Kinect. Not necessarily from the sense of it does anything particularly innovative, but you're literally walking around Disneyland. And, like, there's the characters in the costumes, and you, like, pull out your autograph book, and they sign it, and you can hug them with the Kinect. And it's like, I watched, like, gameplay of this, and it's like, if a kid, you know, can't get to Disney World or Disneyland, like, this thing is, like, totally a suitable, like, carryover, you know, it's something. And yeah. I feel like Nintendo doing something like that, like, let's go balls to the wall, let's model this like imaginary theme park as only Nintendo could and make it really cool and make people really into it. But instead it just feels like another lobby, you know, it just feels like
a PlayStation Home for Miis, so to speak. You know?
Yeah, and it's just not, I mean, even PlayStation Home is more in-depth and more realistic and kind of interactive than what I feel Nintendo Land is.
It's funny, they made a lot of bold statements about it, and then when they showed it to us, it was just like, well, this is not what you just said it was.
Well, this
just
is another mini-game collection. Great.
I mean, it'll be fun, right?
But whatever, it's just weird.
And then they get a bunch of third-party guys to come on and say, hey, you know, here's some games. But it's like, we're not going to, you know, we made a system. We're not making any games. But here's all these third-party games people are making. And then they show Mass Effect and Batman. And it's like, cool, but everyone has played these already. Who's going to rebuy these just for the Wii U version?
Mass Effect 3 loses a lot of its appeal if you haven't gone through the first two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, quite frankly, I thought Mass Effect... Well, I mean, I guess the combat's been, I feel, has been more enjoyable in Mass Effect 3, but I still felt the experience of 2 itself was better. It's just...
You have to at least have 2.
At least.
Well, and the thing is, I love Arkham City, but I'm not going to rebuy the game for the Wii U.
Especially for like the minimal kind of tacked on stuff they're going
to
do.
Right.
Well, and it's like, you know, the thing that, you know, when I was talking to Matt about it, like with Mass Effect 3, it would be pretty cool to use the gamepad because you probably would have your, you know, that UI that pops up whenever you pause the game to use your biotics. It's just always there. So that would be pretty great. But then, you know, it's the same thing with Nintendo. It feels like they're with Nintendo, the Nintendo that we know now is just 3 years behind.
Yeah.
They're 5 years or 3 years behind. So that like they're getting into Mass Effect and Arkham City just too late. Okay? They're too late to the game. So they're just doing it because they're big titles and whatever, but no one's gonna rebuy them. Same thing with they're releasing this new system that the very next year is going to be obsolete with the other systems, and everyone's just going to be like, okay, whatever. We can't do the same graphics that we can do with the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox 720 or Durango, whatever it's called. But, you know, you just can't, they're just behind the times. They used to be the innovators and they sat back on their laurels. And I think that they got so excited and so happy with being the kings that they are now not.
And this is not the first time this has happened, because this is exactly what happened with GameCube. Yeah. Like, except this time, it could be... I mean, the thing is that with first-party games, it's hard to say there will ever be the end of Nintendo as a console producer. But, but this is definitely going to be a slap in the face for them, because they can't undo this. They can't unmake all this stuff. And in a lot of ways, maybe what they gave us was a really frank presentation, because they didn't promise us anything that wasn't going to like come out this year, most likely.
Right.
They didn't tell us anything that that was especially cool. Because, I mean, like, think about... all the things they've promised in past years, they've gotten us excited about, that just didn't materialize as fast as they anticipated. But here they were with a very reasonable approximation of what could come out within the next year.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, if they just showed Star Fox Wii U, that's all I would have needed.
Yeah, same here.
You know what?
I mean, I'm going to be honest, I'm probably going to get the system anyway, but right. I would have felt super comfortable knowing that I'm going to buy it. If it's like Star Fox Wii U, boom, I'm like, all right, I'm good. Yeah. Or Metroid Prime Wii U or something like that.
And they announced two new Super Mario Brothers titles.
Yeah.
Now, we know that that title was really successful for them. But so here's what they've done so far. They announced a new Super Mario Brothers for the 3DS, which is actually coming out in August, which is super soon, and so that was a big surprise for everybody. But it's super gimmicky. Like, everyone goes to New Super Mario Brothers for classic gameplay, and this one is, like, all about collecting coins. It's like, there's everything's gold. Turn it all into fucking gold.
It's
fuck
gold.
And like, well...
I want to know where the gold at.
Give me the gold. I'm going to
look
through
that
tree.
That too, is, like, they just put out Super Mario 3D Land.
Yeah,
which, if you haven't played it, I personally think is probably one of the best Mario games that they've done in a long time.
It's fantastic.
Like, it's really good. And, you know, I read a really interesting article online the other day. I could send it to you. Maybe you could link it in the show notes or something.
Sure.
But it was a comparison of all of the Super Mario games visually, just from a visual standpoint. And it was like Super Mario Brothers, the original one, or like Mario Brothers, and then Mario Brothers 2, and then Mario Bros. 3, and all these screenshots, it was like the world was continually changing. Twice on the first set of original hardware, you know?
Yeah.
And they were showing all of these visual comparisons, and as you go through the years of Mario, it's massively different. But then you get to New Super Mario Brothers on the DS, and then you look at New Super Mario Brothers Wii, and then you look at New Super Mario Brothers 3DS, and then you look at the Wii U version, and other than the resolution... it's like the exact same art, the exact same backgrounds.
Music as well.
Music,
characters.
I hear that there's like no different music in between the two games. They're like all the same.
It's like, I mean, we've always kind of joked that Nintendo just regurgitates their content.
Right.
But I feel like it's never been quite as literal.
Yeah, it does feel like the reason they're able to release these two titles is because they've actually at this point developed a cut and paste model by which they can create these games.
And, I mean, I kind of hate to see that. It kind of hurts a little bit.
Once Mario Galaxy 2 came out, I was really not happy at all. Because it's just like, Mario Galaxy, cool. They sold a lot with it. It was a good game. And now they're just trying to milk more from it. Mario Galaxy 2, same thing.
And
it's like the same game, pretty much.
I was frustrated with that at first, except that then... it met all my problems.
You know, I've never
Mario
played it because I was so disappointed that they were doing it.
It is every problem you had about Mario Galaxy has been completely fixed, and it is everything that Mario Galaxy was supposed to be and isn't.
I did hear it's really good, but I was just like really pissed off that they just made a whole like a complete reskin with different levels. But I hear it's good, and I mean Mario Galaxy is an amazing game, so I mean it's not like it's going to be a bad game. It's just I was really not happy that they were repeating, I guess.
And I mean, we haven't seen that with really any of the other titles. I mean, I guess Metroid Prime 1 through 3 kind of share the same visual look, but I mean, if you look at the Zelda games, like every
one
is pretty different, you know.
Majora's Mask was pretty much it was the same dang engine as Ocarina of Time, and I was excited as heck to play that, and it's like one of my favorite Zelda games. So,
I mean, I agree that Majora was a really good game, but as far as like the public's perception of it, it did suffer for the fact that
it
was the same thing.
It really did.
Yeah.
Well, to stray away from our,
we could bitch about how much Nintendo's let us down.
Yeah.
I mean, because the reason we're doing all this bitching, and the reason like that we keep harping on this is because of how much we love them and how we all have an invested interest in their success, and they continue to confuse and disappoint us.
Yeah, because we often get blamed for being Wii fanboys. I mean, like, for being Nintendo fanboys. It happens. Like, in a lot of the videos and stuff, they're like, oh, we're Nintendo fanboys.
It's really hard not to be when you're as old as we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're sucking right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just being frank. So, as far as what else we saw today, and we're going to definitely examine more titles in on the next two following days. But we had some hands-on with an Avengers game. We're going to be posting video of it up at Nerdy Show and Bleeding Cool. It was nothing we expected to see at the show, but it was an Avengers fighting game called Marvel's The Avengers Battle for Earth. And it's kind of like, it's a Kinect game, and it's kind of like, what if Dance Central was a fighting game?
that's a good way of putting it.
And Spill and I played it.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed looking like a buffoon up there, but you know, that's the point of the Kinect is getting up there and looking like a buffoon. And you know, it's a series of essentially just learning a couple movements to do with your arms and legs in order to control these powers. It's like a fighting game on rails, but in the
Ubisoft
fact that you know,
actually published a game called Power Up Heroes, which is the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it came out last year, or maybe early this year. But it's basically the exact same thing, except it uses your Xbox avatars.
What I think is nice about the Avengers concept is a lot of these characters have very like individual motions that are them. I mean, we all do, you know, do the Wolverine, you know, unsheathing. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just picturing the Hulk doing the Thriller dance because of the dance.
Well, you know, with Hulk, you can like, you smash the ground, you spread your arms wide, you chuck it. It's like, and what's cool is there's an activation pose and there's a motion pose. So what I realized in doing this is like these characters actually have iconic moves. Like when you're Thor, you put your hands above your head to raise Mjolnir, and then you strike it down. And
I don't know if you noticed, it was something I didn't notice until the very end, was the time in which you took from the activation pose to the sending out influences how much damage that particular move did. Like if you did it within a certain, you know, speed, whether, you know, not too fast or too slow, just perfect, it was a much hard hitting power.
Yeah.
So that added a neat element. It's not just, you know, with most fighting games, you know, the same high punch does the same amount of damage.
Yeah.
You know, it's moves do different amounts of damage depending on your timing as a human being,
right,
which I think is pretty cool.
And the cool thing about this game is that there's a whole bunch of different characters that wouldn't normally be on, like, that aren't in, like, it's not the Avengers movie.
Yeah. And in fact, what we learned is because boom, all of a sudden we were fighting some Skrull versions of Storm and Thor.
Oh, wow.
It is actually based on Secret Invasion. And they weren't able to tell us which Marvel writer was working on it, but there is a Marvel writer working on it. Presumably it's at least got notes from Bendis. And that's really cool. Secret Invasion, you know, it's a few years old, but it's also one of the biggest events in Marvel history, and it's a really cool one, and especially a great one for the concept of heroes fighting heroes.
Right.
So, this is definitely, and very surprisingly, a Kinect game worth watching, especially for, you know, for comics fans, because you can actually have, you'll actually have the Avengers you want to assemble. You'll have Spider-Man and Wolverine are in this Avengers team. Sony's movie license has nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
I did overhear one of the developers mention that there are alternate skins based on the film. So I'm wondering if Ubisoft had to hold this game up a little bit just for the movie. But they said that I overheard definitely saying the Liam Hemsworth Thor costume is a alternate skin for Thor in the game that can be unlocked.
That's cool.
And I imagine it's like that for the other characters.
That is cool. And there's 20 characters confirmed.
Awesome.
So, is it two player?
Yes.
Yes.
So you'd like... swinging around next to someone. And
yeah, I only hit spill
that's
a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll post a video as soon as we get it finished. But man, it is hilarious to watch. I can tell you, watching Matt Spill and Cap both striking these like poses. Like, you know, the Avengers, like, you know, with Thor, like, you know, he's raising up that one hand, and like, it's just like hilarious to see Spill like punching down with both hands as Hulk, or being Wolverine and like pushing his arms back and over his shoulders.
Sometimes you realize you're like, I did not pull off that move very cool. But then there was one with Wolverine where I was like, I bet you I looked like a fucking badass on that one.
Some sweet bit of Timber Ross. Anyway, so what were some other games that we saw that we really enjoyed on the floor?
Epic Mickey 2 is cool. We covered Epic Mickey when it first came out back in our first E3. And, you know, the game ended up getting sort of a tepid reception from us and basically everybody else.
Basically everywhere, yeah.
Yeah. This one, you know, we saw some videos for it when it was announced, and it looked like, oh, hey, this could address all those problems. And so far, it looks like a number of them are in fact addressed. And the biggest one of all is that characters actually have voice actors, which is huge because last time we saw a game that had so much character but no actual characters in it.
Yeah.
And this time we have full voices, and they actually they pulled in Frank Welker, the legendary voice actor Frank Welker, to voice Oswald. And this may actually be the first time Oswald's been given a voice, so that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it looked pretty good.
Yeah,
it's not flawless.
It's definitely gorgeous. Like, yeah. I think so anyway.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely. And it's interesting to see. It's obviously the cool thing about Epic Mickey, and it was really fun in the first one.
This is by the way another thing we have a video for. So we'll address stuff that we weren't able to address in the video here.
Is that the lore of Disney is going to be so prevalent in these games? Like there's so like what was it the first. The first, what was it, Mill? The old mill.
There's a level called the Old Mill, which is based on a very, at this point, obscure cinema short that Disney did. And what's really cool about it is it's when Disney would develop shorts for being played before films and theaters, they would always do things that tested what they could do and different animation techniques. And all their shorts inevitably led up to them applying all the different techniques they'd learned from them in their animated features. And the Old Mill was one that was there's no story exactly. It's basically it's this peaceful mill, and then this storm happens, and basically it was them testing a bunch of really amazing storm effects. And you can download the Old Mill on iTunes actually, and I highly recommend it. It's a really gorgeous piece of animation.
I forgot all about that cartoon until you mentioned it. I remember watching that.
Yeah, it's cool,
young.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a level based on that. I mean, it's
that's really cool.
Totally bizarre, but there it is.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of, there was some concept art of the Disney monorails being in a level. You know, the Autopia ride from Disneyland. I mean, they're just pulling from old cartoons and the theme parks and, you know, it's movies. I mean, it's...
And maybe the most exciting thing that we saw today at the Nintendo conference was a reveal that there's an Epic Mickey 3D action game. Or not Epic Mickey Nintendo 3DS side-scrolling action game, and it's in the style of Mickey's side scrollers from like the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, Super I Nintendo saw that. It reminded me exactly like Aladdin and whatnot. It was like, oh, wow.
Because it had the Aladdin like
Aladdin level in it.
Yeah,
actually.
Like the Aladdin sprites, like the ones that they use. Like same ones. It seemed like they were using for the guards, like that Aladdin like you know fought with. Like, Mickey fought.
It's kind of funny. About 2 weeks ago, my roommate and I watched a playthrough on YouTube of both Aladdin and the Lion King side scrollers, and we're just like, man, these were fucking good games.
Yeah, man,
you know?
They
so
really
that's
were.
Really cool that you know Epic Mickey has taken that route.
Yeah, and we weren't able to play it; it's not on the show floor, and they couldn't really tell us anything about it. But it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I also last time Epic Mickey came out, they did a comic book, a digital comic book on the iPhone. And it was written by Peter David, the legendary comics writer. And I asked them about other transmedia projects this time, and unfortunately, they weren't able to tell me anything. There's an awful lot, in fact, more than last time they showed up at Mickey at E3, there's an awful lot that they just plain can't talk about this time. So
I think that's honestly, I think that's the default answer. And when they don't know something, they say that answer. But, you know. Even still. Yeah.
Yeah, when I was playing Epic Mickey, somebody asked if there was going to be a Wii U version. And, like, the guy kind of almost actually started saying, well, of course. But then he kind of was like, well, you know, I mean, it might happen. We don't know for sure. You know, but it was funny because he, like, he didn't really come out and say it like that. But it was, like, so some kind of let's keep myself in check kind of response here.
Yeah.
But, yep. I mean, it's pretty safe to say it'll probably come to Wii U. I'm sure.
One of the coolest things that I found at E3 today that we saw was the Indiecade.
Yeah.
The Indiecade was this really great collection of developers and games that are independent games that are not released on anything but are using hardware, be it the Xbox, the PlayStation, or their peripherals in really interesting and creative ways. And there's going to be video about this kind of stuff, so we're not going to. I'm not going to go in detail about it. But there was a really great game called Johann Sebastian Joust.
Yes.
And it was basically where you take the PlayStation Move controllers and you hold them up in the air, similar to if you were like, say, I likened it to holding a candle, and You activate the Wii Motion Plus controller. Wii Motion Plus.
The PlayStation
Move. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the exact same thing. The PlayStation Move. And you activate the PlayStation Move, and you go around the room, you walk around the room without a screen. There's no television screen in the entire, you know, it's not needed. And you walk around the room, and you try to hit the other person, your opponent's, candle. Your Wii Motion.
Okay, you're overcomplicating it.
PlayStation Move.
Let's slow this down a little
bit.
And
then you, or you, but if you can't move, if you move too fast, then it'll go out.
The idea is you don't want the candle to go out. So if the music's moving slow, that means that you have to be cautious with your candle. And I'm just going to call it a candle here because it's the best way I can express it. But then if the music starts moving fast, that means that you're capable of more free motion. But the idea is if you, the everybody who's holding one of these Motion Pluses is in charge of making
PlayStation
sure.
PlayStation Move.
Sorry, yes, God damn it. if you're holding this PlayStation, this Move, if you're holding the Move, the idea is you don't want to get jostled. If someone hits you, then your body's probably going to move, and your little bulb on the end of the Move is going to go red, and you're going to be out. But so you want to try to hit these other people and like wrestle with them, but keep your thing still. And it's this weird game of balance, and it's a lot of fun. You'll
kind of like the egg on a spoon thing.
Yeah,
where you have to. It's a race to the finish, but you can't let your egg fall off.
But this time, it's combat between other people trying to get other people's eggs to fall.
And there's a time in which your egg will not fall. So yeah, you'll see some pretty ridiculous video of us.
It's another continual reminder to pay attention to the indie game scene, because some of the best stuff out there, still isn't the stuff that gets published.
Yeah.
Right.
And there was another game we played called
Hulkra.
Hulkra, yeah, yeah. It's a Matt. You had some hands on with it. We again, this is another thing we have video of, and we'll go more in depth in the video. But
I mean, it's a game that really harkens back to the very principle of like very early sports games, when it wasn't so much that like in order to play Madden you had to know the principles of football. It's a very back in the day when you play a hockey video game like Blades of Steel or one of those early NHL games. It's you take a ball and you try to put it in another net, and it's very basic, but anyone can pick it up and play it. It was essentially keep away. You had to keep the other person, you had to keep the ball in the other person's goal as long as you could before they steal it and they bring it to yours. But you played on teams, so you could pass it back and forth. It was keep away, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a good game.
Yeah. So now this new title is sort of an elaboration on that. Yeah. So more on that awesome title in the video. You're gonna see, and kind of it's a sports, it's like this sports concept, but it'll make sense. The other thing that we spent some time with today was Walking Dead, the part two of Telltale's interactive.
I'm so jealous you guys got to see that.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
Yeah,
hey, at least you've gotten to play episode one. We went in without any prior knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, I'd seen a demo video for it, and was really, really excited, but I hadn't had a chance to play the first chapter yet, and man, this really sealed the deal on it. I have never, ever seen interactive storytelling this well done. It's yeah. basically like Mass Effect with all the all the raw choice and emotion and everything. It's just that. There's no like needless space battles or anything. It's just all character interaction and decision making and life and death.
Yeah, and you know, and this is coming from someone who loves the Mass Effect franchise. The choices in this game were so much more interesting than the choices in the Mass Effect series.
Massively dynamic. Whether for other AI characters' motivations, the way your environment has changed, small decisions coming back to haunt you.
I'm looking forward to seeing how some of those unfold for me.
And the best part is, Matt, like, they don't sugarcoat it. Like, they affect it drastically.
Oh, I watched a couple of dudes get eaten, and I have a feeling that's going to come back to haunt me at some point.
It's just incredible. I mean, the choices that you're making, and it's not the thing with Mass Effect is that you'll have the I'm just going to be being a dick move, or I'm being a really great guy move. You know, you have the renegade and the paragon choices. With this one, you are getting like a series of even upwards of four choices that could potentially lead. You don't even know where they're going to go.
They are so realistic. It's not predictable. And so human that there is absolutely no clear path between paragon and renegade at all.
Right.
And you know what I think is a really cool thing too, is that whenever I talk to anybody about The Walking Dead episode 1 or episode 2, whatever it is, everyone kind of forgets to mention how good it looks because of how amazing the story and gameplay is, which I think that's really rare these days, because I think a lot of times you talk to somebody and they're like, oh man, that game is gorgeous. And then you talk about the gameplay. But with like this game, I mean, I personally think that they did the comic book art style like fantastic.
Totally.
It looks like a moving page. And even though it's so good, everyone immediately goes to, oh shit, that story and those choices. Like, I think that's kind of like a triumph for them.
Yeah, you
immediately go to the story and the gameplay mechanics, and you kind of even forget about the graphics because you were so impressed by everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it transcended the graphics. The story transcended it.
But what's crazy is the graphics are great.
Yes. Oh no, they are. They're incredible. Yeah, it's such a visceral experience. Like we were watching them play that. I was so hooked into watching
a 20-minute demo.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I was on the edge of my seat
the entire time, and you were just sitting there, and like there was a part where. There was a part where somebody's like leg gets hacked into with an axe, and it was so stressful.
Oh,
oh my god!
There are some really tough things, but it's not just a moment.
It's not just a one time like video game moment where his you know you swing the axe and then his leg gets chopped off.
Well, let's set it up, I guess.
Okay, sure.
There's a guy whose leg is trapped in a bear trap, and the safety mechanism has been removed, so there's no clear way to get it open. So you can try to like hack the chain, but there's zombies coming because the guy is screaming, and like you can kind of try to pry it open. There's a bunch of things you could do, and maybe if you kept doing one of them, they'd work. But one of the choices was once those other things just really stop working, and it looks like you're gonna be completely screwed, is you can try to cut off the dude's leg, but it's not a clean break. It takes like four chops to do it.
Yeah, it's like a realistic chop.
And the way it was presented wasn't like, you know, you hit the leg and he did the four chops. It was you chopped it and you got like halfway through and it's like, well, fuck, you want to try something again or do you want to keep going through the leg?
Yeah.
You
had to actively make the choice to chop his leg again.
There's something just like that in the first episode. Yeah, it's insane. Really tough
it's great. The decisions in the game, like we're talking about Mass Effect. Mass Effect Shepard controls his universe. Sure. You make all good decisions, your universe turns out good. You make all like renegade decisions, you have a very a renegade universe. And this one, like, it's more butterfly effecty, you know. Decisions you make are, you can make a good decision and there's a bad result, or a neutral decision and there's a good result, or whatever. And it's just you affect the, you know, the variables of the world stay more
and they're
natural.
Not all actions like that either. I mean, you know, there's something in the beginning of episode one where it's someone asks you a question about who you are or where you came from. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of either you tell them the truth or you bold-faced lie, or you're just kind of like, change the subject.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and that person, you know, reacts depending on how you pick.
Lots of dialogue choices include an option to just remain silent.
Yeah. Yep. And it's funny. There are some people online that were trying to figure out what would happen if you just didn't say anything to anybody and just played it like the silent you know, protagonist.
Wow.
That's interesting.
I mean, like, and also too, we were talking about this, is that it feels like this game captures the Walking Dead universe so much better than the show does.
And it's important to express that this is in the comic book universe specifically. It actually is, like, authorized.
Canon.
Authorized canon parallel to the events. And there's in the first episode, you see Herschel's farm and you meet Glenn, but it does not rely on that.
Yeah. It's a completely new story just in that universe. And the cool thing about this game too, is that we talked about the leg getting chopped off and et cetera. I mean, the violence that happens in this game, is similar to how the violence happens in the comic book, in that the violence is earned, in that the violence progresses the story.
Yes.
You know, it creates this tension that is just always there. Whereas in the show, you'll just have like, oh, we're really slowing down on this stuff, so we need an action show.
Or
so.
Yeah, like how many times they show me like him being a badass shooting a crossbow arrow through a guy's like head, like, you know, they're becoming like, you know, zombie commandos.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this game, it's just like, there was a time where there's like surprises. There's a surprise when the zombie comes up and like goes to attack somebody. You don't expect it happening. I did not see that coming. Whereas mm-hmm. in the show, you're like, okay, oh, yep, there it is. But with this, it's like, you have no idea what's happening. The storytelling in this game is some of the best storytelling in a game that I've ever seen, and it was only 20 minutes. It was 20 minutes of a Telltale game that, like, you know,
I'm firmly invested. Like, I already know the two characters I fucking hate.
Yeah,
and I was watching 20 minutes of the second episode.
I know,
and I already know that when I start to play, unless they show me something different in the first episode, I'm gonna fucking go everything against them.
I know,
I don't like them.
I love it.
And these titles are coming to for the first time to Xbox and PlayStation really fucking soon, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait to play these games.
Yeah, I mean, you can buy the episodes a la carte on Xbox and PlayStation, but on PC, the only way to buy it is in the Season Pass, which is all 5 episodes, which personally, I think, I mean...
You better do it.
Just fucking buy them.
Yeah, season. On the PlayStation, you can buy it as a season. That's what
okay,
he's saying.
Okay, you can? Okay, mm-hmm. All right, yep. I didn't know. Yeah. But yeah, I would highly recommend, because if you play the first episode and don't like it, you just shouldn't even be alive.
Austin, do you have any experience with these things?
I do not. I've seen the show and I haven't played the game. I've talked to a friend who's played it, but
man,
they're the same guys that do the Back to the Future ones, right?
Back to the Future, Jurassic Park.
See, and I wanted to play those. I never did get around to them. But the thing is that,
like, because I played the Back to the Future. I played the first two episodes of the Back to the Future games.
They were fun, but they weren't like incredible.
But they're
This is completely different.
It's so different. Like, that's because when I first heard about Walking Dead, I thought it was going to be like this. I thought it was going to be like Back to the Future, and it's so not.
It's clear watching them go from Back to the Future to Jurassic Park that they're learning a lot about this simplistic control gameplay.
Yep.
And that they're really creating something that only they do well.
And it's kind of a shame that Jurassic Park had to be a victim to their learning experience.
Yeah.
But they still have the license, probably, so maybe they'll do something that they can do with it.
Well, there's I think they put such a black mark on that with the Metacritic's like scandal. Mm-hmm. Like they got caught putting 10s of 10 in the user section of Metacritic, and
we'll see. I mean, I don't think they're going to lose a license over anything like that. But I mean,
they might want to avoid going back to Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I mean, but we have Fables from them coming soon too, as well.
Yeah, that's something worth mentioning. They. For a couple reasons that we can't share, they can't talk about Fables yet, but you expect to see something about the Fables game. This is Fables, the comic book by Bill Willingham. There is going to be a Telltale game based on that. It's just there's some things they can't say for some very specific reasons.
It's basically there's a lot of legal issues.
Yeah, there always is.
And they do own the rights to the King's Quest series currently.
Yes. Yep. And another thing that they can't share much about with us, but it is something that that is on their mind. So that was E3 day one, and there's going to be much more gameplay for us on the coming days. As we post videos, they'll be up at nerdyshow.com and at Bleeding Cool. And if you go to nerdyshow.com/E3 2012, you will find all of our E3 2012 content. So.
Yeah.
What about yesterday?
What about yesterday? good question. Yesterday we did some live streaming with which you can still watch. You can go in and watch us react to the Microsoft and Sony press conferences. And you know what? They were pretty decent. For the first time ever, I didn't hate Sony's press conference.
Yeah. Did you go to Ubisoft?
We did not. No.
See, and I think Ubisoft had the best show. Period.
Yeah, I just saw. I actually just saw that some poll. I wish I knew which website it was. Ubisoft had like a 91%. They've won E3 so far.
Yeah, they awesome. Their show is way better than everyone's. I think.
Wow.
Assassin's Creed, bro.
You know, I usually stay away from Ubisoft's show because usually, I mean, they do show good stuff, but usually their shows are fucking boring.
And you know they're annoying, too. Yeah. This one was annoying, too. And it was, even despite being annoying, it was still good. It's really sad that they had the best show. We'll just say that. And the funny thing is that in the Sony conference, they had a bunch of friggin' Ubisoft stuff going on there. It was like Ubisoft just owned E3 this year, pretty much.
They are coming at it with a lot of power this year. It's pretty impressive. We didn't expect to be super excited for Halo 4, but I gotta say, the gameplay and the... what the fuck is that? I gotta say, the gameplay and the trailer are really, really impressive and have excited the hell out of me. The Forerunners being an enemy, like the new weapons and everything, it all, like the environments, man, it just all looks so good.
Yeah,
can't wait.
I think the best games I've seen so far are The Last of Us and Watch Dogs.
Yes, the Last of Us is Naughty Dog's new IP, and they're the guys who do Uncharted, and oh my god, this looks like some of the most dynamic survival based gameplay.
It's gorgeous too. It is gorgeous.
Oh man!
Have you seen anything on the Watch Dogs?
I know that it's huge and buzzing, and if there's any possible way for us to check it out, we will.
There is YouTube. Ubisoft put up their demo on YouTube, so you can check that out.
Yeah, we'll be checking it out. We'll post some links to it, and when we get our hands on it, we will let you know all about it. Anything else from the press conferences you guys wanted to bring up?
Tomb Raider. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, Tomb Raider looked really good as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally did. Man, like, talk about action that never ends. Oh, right. I'm in water. Oh, I fell through a plane. Oh, I got a parachute. Oh, I'm gliding through the trees. My God. And despite how ridiculous it is, it's completely amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we hope to get our hands on all these awesome titles. Just stick with us, podcasting every day from E3, and we'll cover everything we can. If you have anything you want to make sure we check out or any opinions to express, feel free to go to the forums, nerdyshow.com/nerdyforums, and check out our E3 thread. Let us know what you're thinking. We will see you again tomorrow. If you like what you heard, you can always support Nerdy Show. We are a listener-supported podcast. It's the only way we're able to come out to LA all the way from Orlando and do cool things like this. So we are running a support drive right now to choose the next one-off role-playing podcast we're going to do. We're going to role-play. We do a lot of role-playing podcasts, but this time we're going to role-play in a brand new system, and you get to choose what it is. We have a demo list of some systems we want to use, and then fans can also, if they can help us get a hold of the system in question, you can also tell us what system to you'd like us to play. And if you want to see what's in the running, just go to nerdyshow.com. It's over on the right-hand sidebar. So even if you just think, hey guys, you did a good job, here's a dollar, that's cool too, because you get nerdy perks sent to you in your email. So thanks for listening to us. Bye, I'm Cap.
I'm Colin.
I'm Matt.
I'm also Matt.
And I'm Killplex.
See you tomorrow, guys.
Derp, 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 derp. 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, comics, videos, and more, go to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, give us your money by visiting the Nerdy Show store and picking up a t-shirt or donate directly to cool, nerdy perks.